Have you ever felt, caught in that frustrating loop of chronic pain or just completely overwhelmed by all the health information out there?
Yeah, like you're always searching for something that really works long term.
Exactly. Something that goes beyond just treating symptoms to actually empower you, helps you move better, feel better, live with more zest. If that sounds familiar, well, you're in for a really interesting deep dive today. Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah, today we're taking a full plunge into Pilates. But maybe not the Pilates you're thinking of.
Right.
We want you to sort of set aside those preconceived notions. This isn't just about, core strength or fancy studios. We're exploring Pilates as a really comprehensive, evidence-based method. And we're focusing particularly on its powerful application in physical therapy and rehab, sometimes in surprising ways.
Okay, so our mission here is to distill the key insights from, well, a really great source, a presentation by Dr. Brent Anderson. He's the founder of Polestar Pilates.
Right. And he was joined by two very experienced physiotherapists, Mel Lovelace and Audrey Yang. They brought that real frontline perspective.
So our goal is basically to give you a shortcut, help you understand how this method is making a big impact on health, on well-being, and maybe share some insights that'll, make you think differently.
We'll dig into the founder's story, the science behind how it's used now, and the reasons why it works. And it's often more than just building that core strength everyone talks about.
Okay, let's dive in. To really get Pilates, we have to start with the man, right? Joseph Pilates.
Yeah, Joseph Pilates. Born in Germany, 1880, he wasn't just a name for a workout like yoga often feels. He was a real person with a specific vision.
And he called his method contrology.
Contrology, which he defined simply as the science of control.
Interesting.
And his own journey was, well, pretty personal. He had a lot of health issues as a kid, asthma, rickets, rheumatic fever.
Wow.
And that really pushed him towards things like bodybuilding, boxing, even yoga. But what's really fascinating is where he developed a lot of his method.
Where was that?
He was actually interned in England after World War I.
Really?
Yeah, as a German national. And he started teaching his method to fellow internees there, helping them, recover and stay strong.
So refining it under pretty tough
Yeah,
circumstances.
definitely. Then, when he came to America in 1923, he met Clara on the Shippo.
Ah, Clara Pilates.
Right. And together, they opened a studio in New York City. And famously, it was near the New York City Ballet.
Okay, I have to ask, did that location being near the ballet influence things? Like, why did dancers take to it so early on?
Oh, absolutely. That proximity was key. Dancers were some of the first people to really embrace it.
Why them specifically?
Well, it offered this unique way to build strength, flexibility, and control. All crucial for dancers, right? It helped them recover from injuries, prevent new ones, and just perform better. It fit their needs perfectly.
Makes sense. But Joseph's vision, it sounds like it went way beyond just the physical.
Totally. By 1945, he was defining contrology as, this is a great quote, the complete coordination of body, mind, and spirit.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah. Think about that. How many fitness things today really focus on like inner awareness, joy, self-esteem as outcomes? He saw the bigger picture.
That's quite profound, actually.
It really is. And after he passed away in 68, his students, the ones often called the elders, they carried the torch.
Wow, the elders. Like, who?
People like Ramona Krasanoska, she's really associated with what people now call classical Pilates.
Okay.
Then there was Ron Fletcher, who took it out to LA, helped popularize it there. And Lolita San Miguel, who's amazingly still teaching, even now at 90.
Wow, still teaching at 90. That's incredible.
Isn't it? And that early training, it was very much that master-apprentice style.
Yeah.
Very authoritative, ensuring the method was passed down correctly.
Okay, so let's fast forward. Today, Pilates has shifted quite a bit, hasn't it? Towards evidence-based practice.
Massively. Yeah, over the last 30 years or so, there's been this huge focus on evidence. And it's led to an explosion in scientific research.
An explosion? Like how much?
Well, the sources we looked at mentioned over 135 new peer-reviewed articles just on Pilates popped up in PubMed, that's a major medical research database, in only the last 6 months.
135 in 6 months. Okay, so the science is definitely booming.
It really is. And it's giving us so much more concrete insight into how and why it works. And some of the findings are really compelling.
Like what?
Okay, take low back pain. There was a big meta-analysis in 2019, published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine.
And a meta-analysis is like a study of studies, right? Top-level evidence.
Exactly. It pulls data from lots of individual studies. So this one looked at all sorts of treatments for mechanical low back pain, manual therapy, injections, you name it.
And where did Pilates fit in?
Get this. It was found to be in the top three most effective interventions.
Top three for low back pain. Wow.
Yeah. It was so significant that an editor actually had to issue a clarification confirming the strong evidence for Pilates in, you know, restoring alignment, body awareness, managing load.
That's huge, because people often think of it as just, I don't know, gentle stretching or something.
Right. It really validates its therapeutic power.
Okay, that's impressive. What else?
Well, there's this incredible fall study done by Margaret Roller and Don Marie Ikes.
Falls. Okay, tell me about that.
They looked at 93 people who were high-risk fallers. These were folks who'd actually been hospitalized because of a fall in the last 6 months. So, serious risk.
Yeah, definitely.
Intervention. Surprisingly simple. A group Pilates class. Twice a week for 12 weeks.
Just a group class? Okay.
And the result.
Astonishing. After just 12 weeks, these people went from being high or severe risk to no risk of falling.
No risk. From high risk to no risk in 12 weeks.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. 90% of them stayed at no risk 6 months later.
Wow. That's genuinely transformative. Think about the impact of falls, especially for older adults.
Mm.
Preventing those. It's massive. Keeping people independent, preventing injuries. It's like a public health superpower hiding in plain sight.
It really sounds like it.
And beyond falls and back pain, the research is growing in other areas too. Like for cancer patients. There are events raising money for cancer and exercise research involving Pilates now. It's expanding.
So it clearly works. But why does it work so well? Let's get into the why. Joseph Pilates had these guiding principles, right? Dr. Anderson talked about them?
He did. Three core principles. The first was whole body health.
Okay, what did that mean to him?
It wasn't just exercise. It was the whole lifestyle. Proper diet, hygiene, good sleep, sunshine, fresh air, and life balance. You know, that mix of work, recreation, relaxation.
Sounds simple, but so foundational. We kind of forget that sometimes.
We do. His second principle was whole body commitment. And this one's really interesting.
How so?
It wasn't just about showing up. It was about mental and physical discipline, work ethic, and critically taking responsibility for your own healing.
Responsibility. That internal locus of control idea again.
Exactly. Hmm. Challenging that tendency to blame external factors. It's about empowering the person. Making them accountable for their own well-being, building resilience from the inside.
That's a powerful mindset shift.
Huge.
Yeah.
And the third principle, breath.
Breath. Always comes back to the breath, doesn't it?
In almost every mindful practice, yeah. Joseph apparently used to say, above all, learn how to breathe correctly.
Why was it so important for him?
He saw it as cleansing the body from the inside out, but also absolutely essential for facilitating movement. Making it fluid, efficient. It wasn't just about oxygen. It was about unlocking movement potential.
Okay, so those were Joseph's core ideas. How did Polestar Pilates, Dr. Anderson's group, build on that?
Right, so Polestar started in 1992. And what they did, essentially, was take that wisdom from Joseph and the elders,
mm-hmm.
and they synthesized it with modern movement science. Things like detailed anatomy, biomechanics, how the body moves mechanically, motor control, how the brain directs movement. And also behavioral psychology. They put it all together to create this rigorous, evidence-based education system. And the aim is really restoring function.
Restoring function. That connects back to Joseph's quote, doesn't it? Physical fitness is the first requisite of happiness.
Exactly. Polestar interprets that as restoring the ability to do daily tasks naturally, easily, and satisfactorily with spontaneous zest and pleasure.
Zest and pleasure. I like that. It's not just about being pain-free. It's about enjoying movement again.
Precisely. And that lines up perfectly with what physical therapists aim for. Using frameworks like the ICF model, the International Classification of Function, it's about getting people back to participating fully in life.
Right. Not just fixing a part.
Yeah. And Dr. Anderson also mentioned this term pathokinesiology, borrowing from Helen Atrop.
Pathokinesiology. Sounds complicated.
It just means the study of movement impairment that results from disease or injury. Basically, PTs are the experts in understanding how movement goes wrong after something happens and how to fix it. They own that knowledge of qualitative movement.
Got it. Experts in movement quality after injury or illness. Okay, let's get even deeper into some of Polestar's specific principles and the research. You mentioned breath earlier.
Right. There's this fascinating study on women's health. It found that 95% of women who had normal movement in their diaphragm, their main breathing muscle, also had normal movement in their pelvic floor.
Okay, so diaphragm and pelvic floor are connected, leading to less stress incontinence.
Exactly. But here's the really revolutionary part. The research found that Pilates helps the body activate the core and pelvic floor naturally, almost reflexively.
More effectively than doing Kegels.
Yes, because those conscious squeezes, the volitional Kegels, often don't sync up with your body's automatic system, the deep core support that should kick in whenever you breathe or move. And it turns out, many people with incontinence are actually too tense down there, hypertonic, not necessarily weak. Pilates helps retrain those muscles to work correctly, spontaneously.
That is a genuine game changer. Wow. Okay, what about mobility, especially the spine?
Yeah, there was a study back in 96. They looked at PT students after just one Pilates class.
One class? What did they find?
Well, their overall flexibility increased, as you might expect. But here's the kicker. Movement in the lower back segments, L45 and L5S1, those common trouble spots, that movement actually reduced by 50%.
Reduced? But didn't their overall range increase? How does that work?
It suggests the body learned a better strategy for moving. Instead of hinging too much from those vulnerable lower segments, it distributed the movement more evenly across the whole spine.
Ah, so it reduced the stress on the commonly injured parts? Smart movement, not just more movement.
Precisely. It's about reducing those insulting forces, as the researchers put it. Another key principle is dynamic alignment.
Meaning alignment while moving, not just standing still.
Exactly. PTs are experts at that. Polestar even has an assessment tool with, like, 28 functional movement tests to evaluate how well someone maintains alignment during activity.
Okay. And what about control? We hear core control all the time.
Right. But in Pilates, it's less about bracing or clenching and more about efficiency.
Efficiency.
Yeah. Having just the right amount of stability for the load you're about to take on. Not too much, not too little. Anticipating the need.
Okay. So not over-recruiting muscles.
Exactly. And Pilates provides this amazing sort of playground for PTs. They can modify exercises, gradually increase the challenge, meet people exactly where they are.
And progress them safely.
Safely, right up to really complex activities. And, you know, Joseph Pilates himself was apparently a fan of lifting weights too. So it absolutely can integrate with heavy resistance training. It's not either.
Good to know. Okay, last principles.
Movement integration and empowerment. This is huge. Pilates really focuses on motor learning, teaching your body new patterns, and fostering internal feedback, getting you to feel the movement.
And that ties back to the locus of control thing.
Absolutely. It empowers patients to take ownership of their function, their wellness. It teaches patients, because sometimes it's a long road, it shifts reliance away from just external fixes, like endless hands-on treatment.
That feels really important, shifting the power back to the individual.
It's transformative.
So putting this all together, who really benefits from using Pilates this way?
The scope is really broad. Obviously, mechanical low back pain, we talked about the evidence there.
Yeah.
And there are even studies, like one by Lisa Stoltz, that help predict who will respond best. Like, if your pain doesn't go below the knee, if your BMI is over 30, if the pain's been there 3 to 6 months, you've got something like an 80% chance of responding well to Pilates.
That's useful information for clinicians.
Very. But beyond the back, it's great for lower limb issues, upper limb issues, even post-amputation rehab.
Really? Amputations?
Yeah. And neurological conditions, too. Parkinson's, MS.
How does it help with something like Parkinson's?
Well, studies have shown it can reduce the need for synthetic dopamine, the medication, by up to 90% in some people.
90%? That's incredible.
It is. And for MS, they can modify the exercises so people get a full workout without overheating, which is often a big issue.
Makes sense. What else?
Sports performance. Apparently, pretty much every major U.S. sports team has a Pilates gym now. They use it for specific training, injury prevention.
Ah, didn't know that.
And geriatrics, too. Helping reduce that forward spinal curve, kyphosis, and increasing weight-bearing ability, which is so crucial for bone health and independence.
So really, a huge range of people.
Definitely.
We heard from Mel Lovelace, one of the physios in the presentation. She has 25 years of experience.
Yeah, Mel shared how she uses Pilates to bridge that gap in rehab, taking people from the acute stage right through to handling dynamic, functional loads.
A gap she felt was missing earlier in her career.
Exactly. She felt like there wasn't a clear place to send patients for that crucial next step. Which is interesting because she also mentioned that Pilates isn't really taught much or at all in the undergraduate physio programs in New Zealand yet.
It seems like a missed opportunity given the evidence we're talking about.
You'd think so.
And then there was Audrey Eng, the other physio from Perth. She had a real paradigm shift, right?
She really did.
Yeah.
She moved from a very hands-on manual therapy focus to centering her whole practice around Pilates.
What drove that shift?
A lot of it was her dive into pain neuroscience, understanding the brain as this predictive machine, constantly updating its model of reality, our identity, how we move, our emotions, sensory input, everything.
A brain's generative model.
Okay, and her key insight, the most powerful thing she found for changing that model, especially with pain, is what she called self-evidencing.
Self-evidencing.
Yeah. It's when a patient has a positive movement experience that actually exceeds their expectations. They do something they thought they couldn't, or do it with less pain than they feared.
Ah, so it directly challenges their negative beliefs and fears.
Exactly. It provides proof to their brain that things can be different. That changes the narrative. It builds that internal locus of control we keep coming back to.
That makes so much sense. The experience itself becomes the therapy.
Precisely. And this fits really well with what other experts are saying now, too. You hear people like Andrew Huberman talking about optimal health, meeting a trio of things:
What's the trio?
heavy resistance training, endurance or cardio training, and mindfulness training like Pilates or yoga.
Okay, strength, endurance, mindfulness.
Right. And Pilates can be that key piece that prepares your body to tolerate the load of the other two. It builds that foundation, that control and awareness, which is often the missing link, especially as people get older.
So it enables the other important types of training.
It can, yeah. It gets the body ready.
Now, someone asks specifically about kids' pediatrics, ages 5 to 18, dealing with complex pain. Can Pilates help there?
The answer was a definite yes, but the key was bringing play and joy back into movement.
Play and joy, I like that.
Yeah, especially now with rising rates of depression and chronic pain in teens, particularly young women, creating positive movement experiences is just crucial.
So it's not just about the physical mechanics.
Not at all. It's about building self-esteem, fostering that internal locus of control, giving them tools and positive feelings in what can feel like a really dark or overwhelming situation.
That feels incredibly important for that age group. Okay, looking ahead, what does this mean for how healthcare or wellness might look in the future?
Well, this Polestar approach suggests a different kind of clinic model. Maybe PTs see patients less often for the acute stuff, perhaps just check-ins once a month.
And then what happens?
Then people, especially those with chronic issues, transition into regular wellness programs led by qualified Pilates teachers focusing on prevention and maintenance.
So moving away from constant reactive treatment towards proactive wellness.
Exactly. And that model could actually reduce the reliance on insurance-based rehab all the time, cut down on acute care visits, maybe even lessen the need for some medications.
Which sounds like a more sustainable approach, health-wise and maybe even financially.
It seems so. The retention rates mentioned were really impressive. Like 40% of patients discharged from PT ended up joining the wellness programs.
40% is pretty good.
And get this, 80% of those people were still attending 5 years later.
80% after 5 years? Wow, that's amazing retention.
Isn't it? From a business perspective, that's huge growth, often cash pay. It offers this continuum of care, keeps people engaged, and improves revenue for practices that adopt this kind of holistic strategy. It really seems like a win-win.
It really does. A win for the patient's long-term health and a win for a sustainable practice model.
Yeah.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for you listening right now?
Well, hopefully this deep dive has shown you that Pilates, especially viewed through this lens, is way more than just exercise. It's got this rich history, solid science behind it now, and really practical, life-changing applications.
Yeah, it's a profound tool for rehab, for managing chronic pain, but also just for overall well-being, for getting that zest back.
And understanding these principles, the mind-body connection, the importance of breath, control, taking responsibility can really empower you, not just to navigate your own health better, but maybe to think differently about how movement impacts your mind, your spirit.
Bringing more ease and pleasure into just daily life.
Exactly. So here's something to think about. If the biggest predictor of getting better isn't just the physical change, but your belief in your ability to move well and heal.
That self-evidencing idea.
Right. What's one small positive movement experience you could create for yourself today? Something simple, just to start reshaping that belief.